Now start tape number 5, side A, continuing recording after having backed up a little bit on the big wall and sack tape to provide some overlap.
The engineer do all the running of the engine. He do all the running there. I remember one time we stopped to, actually I can't think of the name of that town. We stopped to load stock, to load cattle. And we didn't have any air in the cars. Of course the slack had run out. Well, of course, having the experience on a switch engine, I knew how to handle the engine, you know, to spot cars without air. Well, the engineer didn't carry that very well. And he thought I was beefing about it or something. He said, you can go any better, you can get over here and do it yourself. I got over there and we loaded up the train of cattle. And he said over there, firing. Well, I fire on the engine. Of course, there isn't much firing to do when you spotting cars and loading, but I loaded up that cattle train when we got it loaded up, then we started on to Montpelier. Of course, then he took over. So we've gone a few miles, and I started to shake the grapes to clean them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the grapes got caught on me, and I couldn't move them. And I told the engineer to get down and straighten up the grapes for me. I guess he didn't know how to set and kept starting to shake them, and I had to hit him on the back. I said, cut it out, there won't be any fire in there. You have all the fire down,
down on the railroad cars.
Have it all down in the ash pan, you know.
So how about the
ashes on there? Those ashes that have an ash pan to hold the ashes and simply so that it won't get out onto the roadbed.
Burn up the road bed?
Yes, it's worth it. They got out and they have screens. Of course, they've got to have screens for the air to come up under the grates to burn your fuel. See, they've got to have air for the under the grates for the fuel.
Well, when would you have to do the ashes?
Well, you'd have to empty them when you got to halfway between Montpelier and if you had a dirty fire, you'd have to clean it there, too. Take on coal and water. If your fire was good, you'd have to clean it. But the coal is pretty good. You never had to clean the fire very often.
What do you mean by a dirty fire?
Clinkers, generally. If you got the clinkers in your fire, well, then the air can't get up through the grates, and you don't get any steam.
Mm-hmm.
To get the most heat out of your fire to make steam. The fire's got to be clean and the grates have got to be completely covered. If there's an air spot, if there's a hole in your grates, and the cold air is going to come up through there and cut your steam down, see? Cut your heat down in the firebox.
Hmm. Would you have some kind of a rake then that you could rake to keep the fire even, or how would you do that?
No, you just shovel the coal into that hole in the fire there.
Well,
the scoop shovel, and that way, you wait to fire a locomotive and to keep up the steam, just to keep your fire all over the grates, and then when you see white heat in your fire, that's where you want to put the coal.
Mm.
Where it's red, when the coal is still burning, see.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put it there, because if you do, it'll probably make it quicker.
Mm.
But where you see the white heat, that's where you want to put your coal. And the fire the side sheets and the back sheets is the best way to get your heat. And the exhaust works on your the exhaust of the engine works on the draft.
Mm-hmm.
If to draw the air up under your fire and make your fire burn brightly.
Mm-hmm.
It burns your coal faster too, see, with that forced draft on your coal, on your fire.
Was the shovel about the only tool the fireman has there?
That's all I had was a shovel in those days. We didn't have any stokers like we have today. Well, I guess there's no stokers anymore. They're just the only way to steam completely. Coal, firing with coal.
What make of engines were some of these engines that you used to fire?
American locomotive. That's connected, isn't it?
Yeah.
Baldwin locomotives, Philadelphia. Porter locomotives. I believe they were. I don't know whether they came from England or not. I don't remember now. We had the Porter locomotives, and the Baldwin locomotives, and the American locomotives.
How would they rate the power of these locomotives? Horsepower, or?
Yeah, horsepower.
What would the horsepower run?
I've forgotten now. I believe it was around 1,500 horsepower, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Tell you exactly. That's the progress with
the... Let's talk a little about your dad's transfer business, Pop. You're telling me about his truck.
Well, the first truck he got was a Ford F-10 truck. And you used to get around before that, they had the one horse in the wagon for the express work, and when he got that half-ton truck, we were really busy hauling trunks, sacks of coal, and bales of hay, and...
You said this truck was the first truck used in the tractor business in Ogden, is that right?
That's right. What? We used to haul pianos on it, and... small pieces of furniture, and when school crops were rushed, well, they'd call on us to deliver groceries to the stores, and Boyle's Furniture would have us haul furniture. I remember one time around Christmas time, we were working early and late to get out this furniture for Christmas, before Christmas time. The night before Christmas, I think we were working way up until the morning. We were so busy getting out those orders.
What year was that truck, that first Ford truck?
1912 or 14. About 1913.
1913 Model T. One half ton truck.
Yes, that's right.
What was the body like on that truck?
Well, the body was made here in Ogden. Just bought the chassis and had the body made.
I see.
The body, you could haul a ton of coal on that body. Haul many ton of coal on it. Made deliveries of coal. So, really, business really boomed. Then he got a 10.5 van, and it really wasn't large enough for the work. This here was a Nash truck. That's I told you some of the experiences I had with the Nash.
That's right. That's the one that you had all the load on the back and almost lifted the front wheels off the ground.
1,000 pounds of fruit on the back of the truck they didn't throw off, besides the furniture.
Well, Mom was mentioning that your father got a lot of competition in the transfer business. What was that about?
Well, other firms advanced, you know, they got larger vans and more trucks. He didn't go ahead to make any progress in the business, so he lost out.
What was the name of that transfer?
Oh, the Ogden Transfer Company. Ogden Transfer and Coal Transfer, they were the largest transfers. They had a lot of vans drawn by horses. So when they turned over to trucks, why, then they were riding the swim again.
That's
behind.
Was the transfer business good in Ogden because this was kind of a railroad center, or did that have anything to do with it?
Yes, that's right. It was good on account of being a railroad center junction here in the railroads. We used to haul a lot of freight from the freight house to the business houses.
It seems to me that I can remember Granddad had quite a bit of business with Ogden Iron Works. Was that it?
That's right. Yes, he had a truck working there all the time. And Brother Sam took that over after he quit. After he quit business.
The Ogden Iron Works was kind of a foundry, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, foundry. And all kinds of steel work.
And Granddad would cart the steel around to make deliveries, or what?
Making shipments out of town, generally, to take
them down the railroad.
Take them down the railroad, down to the freight depot.
I can remember as a youngster that I used to like to go to Grandma Hyle's house there on Benford, just above Ryle.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember a few things about the house. How long did you live in that particular house, or did you ever live in that house?
I never lived there.
You never lived in that house?
No, no.
Well,
I married your mother.
Isn't that house?
Well, who did live there? Granddad and grandmother? Or?
Yes, and Betty Ann Hensley lived with them. They took her over, and my brother Sam, he lived there.
Before he got married?
Yes, and after he got married.
What year did your brother Sam get married? Were you married first?
I was married first. He was married about a year later, about 1919.
Now, you had a brother, Ralph, who died, and a sister, May. Is that right?
That's right.
What do you remember in connection with gold?
Brother Ralph, he was married to Grace Evans, and they had two children. He was a switchman for the Ogden Union Railway and Depot Company. And he went to war, World War I, 1918, and got sick on the boat with flu and died at Liverpool, England.
Were you at
several days after they'd landed there at Liverpool? He died of influenza.
Were you at Camp Lewis then?
I was at Camp Lewis at the time of his death.
They brought his body in the home.
They brought word to me that Ralph had died, and I felt bad about it. No, I wanted to mourn his death. Nothing to do. I just had to told the top sergeant about it. Nothing to do. I had to go out and drill just the same. Nothing happened.
I didn't have any Red Cross trying to get leaves for the fellows in those days. When
yes, they had Red Cross in those days.
What I mean is nowadays, if, even if someone's real sick in the family, they can easily get a leave to come home. But in those days,
that's
I
right.
guess they wouldn't.
You couldn't in those days. There's a little more freedom in those things today.
Well, now, how about your sister, May?
She used to work at confectionery store on Ward's Confectionery on Washington Avenue between 23rd and 24th. She worked there long, some time before she was married after she got out of school. And she really liked that job. And then when Claude Hensley came along, then she married him. He had two children. And
he was a widower, was he?
He was a widower. His wife died. And they had one child, Betty Ann Hensley, who was married to Don Burt. His wife, Don Burt, and they have two children now. And so when May died,
well, I'll tell us something about your sister May dying.
She had TB. And while she was sick there, while the elders came and administered to her. And
she was in California?
Yes. They were in Arizona and California. I believe it was in Arizona, wasn't it, when she got sick, came home. And she came home and died here in Ogden. That must have been about 1920.
Did they have any indication that she'd had TB before that time?
I don't know. So when she died, my husband went back to California and left the baby here for my parents to take care of and raise. That was Betty Ann.
Did he ever marry again?
No, never heard of him being married again.
Did they ever have any contact with him?
No, he never did write. He just forgot all about his child and all about the family.
Well, that's the way Grandma Hall wanted it. She wanted Betty.
So she spoiled Betty, too. Bringing her up.
Well, I can remember Betty. I know when we go to visit Grandma Hall, and Betty was there, and I believe Betty came out when we lived on the farm, didn't she? And
yeah, she came out when
stayed for a week or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yes. That was in Marriott.
I don't believe we had anything concerning the time when you got married, other than that you just got married. Where did you meet Mom, and how did you go down to Salt Lake, and who married you, and why don't you tell us something about the whole experience?
Well, we... I met her at the Wilson store. And
we've got that on the last tape, I guess.
Used to... How many miles did I walk? Used to walk home from Broom's Bench,
about 3 miles
or more every night.
Every night?
About 3 nights a week.
You mean every time you came, you walked
that far? You go see Mom just 3 nights a week, huh?
Mm-hmm. Every Sunday. Yeah, every Sunday we'd go to church, the Second Ward, where I was baptized.
Would you sit on the front row or on the back row?
I would sit about the center row.
How'd you get up nerve enough to give Mom her first kiss?
Do you remember, Mom?
That's too long ago.
Did she like to kiss her?
Oh, sure. But when we decided to get married, we got our recommend from Bishop George Browning in the Second Ward. So we went to Salt Lake City on the 18th, or the 14th. No, we went down there on the 15th in the evening, didn't we?
And you told us all about how you got baptized, how you sneaked to get baptized.
I believe we said something about that, didn't we?
Think we did.
Yes.
Well, how did you go to Salt Lake? On the train?
Yes, we went down on the train. On the
Bamberger?
Went down on the Bamberger.
Was it electric in those days?
Yes, it was electric. And they'd done a lot of business in those days. They really were loaded. There wasn't so many cars at that time.
Get the travel time, didn't it? Probably got there in an hour, I'll bet.
Yes, about an hour. And Florence's sister Annie went down with us. And we were just about all day getting married. Took a long... Florence's mother and her sister Annie went with us, went through with us. And who was it that married us?
Alvin Smith.
Alvin Smith.
Alvin Smith married you in the temple?
Yes. And I took the...
He's a brother to
Joseph Fielding?
Yes.
The one who was president of the church? Or the one who was...
President
of Quorum of 12
president
today.
President of Quorum of 12 today. And when he was performing the marriage ceremony, I took the wedding ring out of my pocket and was going to put it on Florence's hand. He says, "Not now, brother." He says, "Wait till you get outside."
They let you put it on nowadays.
You know, we go out and Ollie was going to get down the steps and you stopped and put the ring on my finger. And he says, "Not now, brother." He says, "Wait till your mom and your own mom
and your children." Well, I put the ring on either of those. They do it.
Oh, yes.
They do it now, but they didn't know.
Well, they tell you to kiss the bride now, too, didn't they, then?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
Your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you have honeymoons in those days?
No. Oh, they had honeymoons, but
we didn't.
You come back to Ogden the next day?
Yeah,
we stayed in Salt Lake that night and came back the next day to Ogden.
Where did you stay in Salt Lake the 2 days you were there getting married?
What was the name of that place?
I don't remember.
Is it on Main Street?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't it
just a
rooming place?
It was a rooming house.
Yeah,
rooming house. Uh-huh. And his mother was in London, and we came back
the next day for
that
Waldorf.
Were you still working on the railroad?
I was working for Dad on a city transfer.
Well, now it seems to me you've got some pictures somewhere of going fishing, and I thought this was kind of a honeymoon or something. This must have been later on. When you went fishing and lost the worms?
We were married.
Yeah, it was before we were married.
Why don't you tell us about that? Where you went?
Where we lost the worms?
We went up Weber River, just this side of Peterson, went into a grove.
Was that just you and Mom? Or?
No, there was...
We had a whole band.
A band load of people. And
ward party, or just friends, or what?
Neighbors.
When we got up to... Got into Weber Canyon, just about gateway there, where we stopped. Florence and I got on a rock in the middle of the river, and I had our pictures taken, and had the can of bait with us. Set the can of bait down on the rock, we sat on the rock and had our pictures taken, and then we got in the van and went on up the side of Peterson to fish. When we got up there, we couldn't find any bait.
Didn't know
what happened to it. But when the pictures were developed, there was a can of bait on the rock.
I still have that picture somewhere.
Was that your dad's van?
Yes.
And you were taking them out on the party then?
Mm-hmm.
We waited in the river,
playing and fishing. Yeah. Swimming and wading in the river and fishing. The big cottonwood grove that we drove into.
Were the roads dirt roads up Weber Canyon or paved or what
in those days?
They were macadam roads, crushed rock.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hold up very well with automobiles and trucks. So then they put on the blacktop.
I guess the roads are essentially the same position they are today, aren't they? You go up Weber Canyon and there's no place to go except where the road is.
That's changing the road now. I think they're making a lot of headway and
lighting up the road. We went back in a grove, I know.
Well, I like that.
The main highway.
Near Peterson?
Yeah.
That grove still are today. I think we've been on parties up there when we were in the 18th Ward. Dad, what was the first job in... Your first job in the church after you were baptized?
I was a ward teacher.
This was in the second ward?
I was in the second ward. I was put back to work as a ward teacher. And I was ordained a priest after being baptized. I wasn't ordained a deacon or a teacher. My first ordination was that of a priest. And then I worked, I assisted at the sacrament table. I had done that right away too. But after I was baptized, just like I'd always done it, they called on me to do it and I went right ahead. Did everything they asked me to do. And then I was ordained an elder. I was a chandler.
Was this still in the second ward?
I was still in the second ward. You know, I got in the recommend in the second ward to be married, and then we moved into the seventh ward. Moved to on 16th Street in a brick house, and I moved from that to Mrs. Hart's house.
Mrs. Hart's house was a little white frame house, is that right?
Yeah. There was a blue frame, quite trim, I think. That's where you were born.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Eugene was born. And then we moved over to 1464 Jefferson. Bought a lot. And the Uncle Helen built a house, and we lived in the tent while the house was building.
I can remember the tent. The piano was in that tent, too, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, the piano was in the tent. Moved there in the summertime and got the house built so you move in before cold weather. Came. And I dug a basement under the house. I dug the footings for the foundation. And Donald and Wendell and Donald were born there in 1464 Jefferson. Wendell fell in a ditch and was just about drowned.
I thought that was Gene.
No, that was Wendell.
Is that Wendell?
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't Gene also fall in the ditch?
He might have done, but I guess he was big enough to get out.
That was Wendell.
Just a little boy. What was the name of those people? Slade? What was the name of that man that had the store? His son got Wendell out of the creek.
And he had to
work
to get the
ball off. Yeah, he had been
artificial respiration.
Oh, I can remember that, but I always thought that was Gene. That was Wendell.
Yeah,
that
was Wendell.
Well, it seems to me there were some other accidents around that house. Dr. Ezra Rich was sewing up somebody's lip, or...
That was Wendell that had his lip.
What did he do? Fall out of the pear tree on a rake?
Was he living there then?
He Yeah, I can remember somebody, I remember his butt being sewn up and screaming.
I know Wendell had a, had an old egg sucker, you know, the stick on it,
mm-hmm.
in his mouth, and he fell off the porch, and that stick went down his throat, and just about.
Yeah, that was before he threw it black in the face.
That was Wendell.
Of course, he didn't.
That was Wendell. Mom had to pull that out of his throat.